Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Todd Schnick. What's happening, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man, but I'm going through withdrawals. We haven't done a show in like a month of Sundays.
I know. It's been glorious not to have to see you for a month.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Oh, well, you know.
So what have you been doing since I saw you last?
Oh, gosh, all kinds of things. Trying to get the 2011 kicked off on a good footing. Rescheduling 1,000 appointments from last week. It's been a lot of fun.
So what did you do during Snow Week? You know, I've got the two kids, so we hung out. We made donuts. We drank mass quantities of hot chocolate. We read by the fire. We rented a bunch of movies. What did you and your honey bunch do?
Oh, you know, we just took it easy. Got caught up in a lot of reading. Did a lot of writing. Just did a lot of office work and got the office organized. And spent a lot of time rescheduling meetings that had to get canceled last week. So, no, very boring, but very productive week.
So, are you ready to get back to work?
I sure am.
All right. Well, we've got a terrific show this morning. I've been waiting for this for so long. We have Jennifer Adams and Johanna Chapman with Atlanta Accent Management. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Give us, if you will, a little bit of a feel for what you guys are out there doing for folks.
Well, Atlanta Accent Management is our business, and we are a company of speech-language pathologists who specifically conduct accent reduction programs for our clients.
Accent reduction. Now, you've written a book as well, right?
Yes, we have.
Say Goodbye to Your Southern Accent, and you guys co-authored this book?
Yes, we did.
All right, so why would someone want to say goodbye to their Southern accent? Is there some statistics, some anecdotal data that suggests that a Southern accent really can hold you back professionally, politically, socially?
Well, it's an individual thing, definitely. Each person that walks through our door comes in for a different reason. Many people come in because of their jobs, yes. Either they're in a field where a neutral accent is beneficial for them. Some people come in the door because they believe they've been stereotyped and they kind of want to try to step away from that stereotype. And some people come in, again, just as a point, they see their speech as something they want to improve, and they look to us to help them do that.
Well, I understand how a prestigious Manhattan law firm or a Wall Street banker may not want to have a very strong Southern accent, but is that uniform across the country? I mean, I'm assuming that if you have an accent and you live in Birmingham, it's not as big a deal as it is in Chicago or L.A. or New York. Is that right?
Of course, yes. It definitely depends on the audience, you know, that you speak to. If you're in a business situation and you have a heavy Southern drawl and you're communicating with people in Manhattan, for example, that slow Southern drawl can definitely put you in a box that can be a hindrance, really.
Jennifer, you mentioned some fields. What are some of those fields where having that accent is an issue?
Well, we've worked with several individuals in the media, in movie, in TV, in radio, where, again, having that neutral accent is beneficial there. We also work with businessmen and women really across the United States who, as we mentioned before, don't want to be put in a box or stereotyped just because of the way they speak. And so for business reasons, especially when they travel throughout the United States, they would like that not to be a highlight.
Now, is this something that you would help a client like me, for instance, get rid of? Or is it more accurate to characterize it as something I now have control of? And so I can go back and be Old Stone if I want, or I can kick into Manhattan Stone if I need to.
It's a good question. It depends on the person's needs. I mean, each client comes to us with a different goal in mind, and we help them meet that goal. Now, in the instance of an actor, they want to completely neutralize their speech. We work on absolutely eliminating it. But if it is somebody who wants to, what we call code switch, go from one accent to the other, certainly possible as well. So it depends. It's specific to each person, what their goals may be.
I'm absolutely fascinated that A, you can actually fix this, if that's the right word. And I'm fascinated that you can make a living at it. But it sounds like there's enough of this need, enough of this challenge out there that you can make a living at it, and you've obviously figured out how to fix it. So, and I don't necessarily expect you to show us your entire bag of tricks, but is some of it colloquialism? Is it the, you know, because guys down from my neck of the woods say things like guys down from my neck of the woods. Right. People in Manhattan don't say that, right?
Exactly. Right.
Is that some of it as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Definitely. And really, when you speak of accent, the proper term is really dialect. Because although accent encompasses the sounds and the pronunciation of the sounds, but when you speak of a dialect, you're encompassing not only the pronunciation of the sounds, but you're also encompassing the lexicon, which is the vocabulary and the kind of colloquialisms that you just referred to, and also the grammar.
Well, I used to do politics, political work in Florida, and the Hispanic population is obviously very significant in Florida, but there's different variations. I mean, there's Cubans, there are Puerto Ricans, and when I would have to do television commercials or produce radio commercials where we were targeting a Hispanic audience, I had to be very, very careful about which dialect, if I'm using the right word. I couldn't have a Cuban speaking Spanish to a Puerto Rican because that would be offensive.
Really?
So, I mean, you have to be very, very careful on those things. You know, you can't watch a film and roster credits and not see someone say, all right, my language coach was this and the speech coach. I mean, is that kind of what you guys do for, like, business people?
Basically, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so how long does this take? If you were to start with a hard case like me as early as tomorrow, I mean, are we talking about a week, a month, a year? Is it like going to the chiropractor for the rest of your life? How does this thing work?
Well, there's actually a hierarchy to it. It is an organized way of doing it. We start off at the base, which is getting your ear retrained, listening for the difference between correct versus incorrect. So how would we be able to expect you to pronounce it if you can't hear it first?
Uh-huh.
So it starts there, and it works up the hierarchy. We go through a lot of drill and repetition and practice, and then it moves very quickly into carryover, okay, into conversation and into, you know, wherever you need us to help you. We ask clients to bring in speeches, for example, if they do a lot of public speaking.
Right.
We ask them to bring in training manuals so we can encompass a lot of the vocabulary from their professional life. So it's different for each person, but yeah. I would say anywhere from 7 to 13 weeks.
Yes, definitely.
And again, the focus right from the beginning is on carryover. So we really want you to take ownership of what you're learning with us and run with it when you're past our door.
How much of your work is teaching your client how to do it versus actually drilling it into their head? I was reading an article by a musician, and she teaches lessons, and the student said, oh, how long will I be a good guitar player? She goes, I don't know, it could be 6 months or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what you put into it and all that. Is that the same thing apply to you guys?
Absolutely, yes. Commitment is a big part of it. I would say the question you ask is interesting. I would say 10% of what we do is the training. And then the other 90 is, like Jen said, having the client take ownership of it and the drill practice and using it in everyday speech and just practice. So dedication, commitment makes it shorter in most instances. If you're dedicated and committed to it, as with most anything else, you will achieve results much faster.
So. I mean, imagine some of your job is kind of helping them keep their feet to the fire to continue that hard work and dedication.
It is.
A lot of what I do with my marketing clients is show them how to do it, but then they have to do it. And then part of my job is to be sure that they do it, not right. to actually execute the program for them, but be sure that they're doing it.
Exactly. And providing the materials is a big part of that, too. With our book, for example, it comes with a CD-ROM, and we talk a lot about the best ways to practice and specifically when to practice and just different pointers like that that help our clients carry it over to conversation.
So how is – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just in our experience in doing this for many, many years, we have to make it meaningful from day one. Because if we don't capture them right on that first day, you may lose them. They may let this book gather dust on their countertop and not pick it up. But if we make it meaningful from day one, those are the clients that tend to really take ownership and go and fly with it.
Now, there's times in my work with Stone over all these years. I can tell when he kind of turns up the Southern charm a little bit, and he actually becomes a little bit more, I'm not sure the right word is, I want to be politically correct. You know where I'm going with that.
Yes.
You guys do the reverse. So if someone comes to you and says, hey, it would be important for me to be able to speak with a Southern accent. Do you do any work of that nature where you help people change their dialect and learn a new one?
We have not specifically gotten into that, but there are certainly people who do that.
I think the three of us could partner, and I could help you on that project.
Exactly.
Right?
We can collaborate. But there are people that do that, but our specialty is the standard American dialect. So anybody who comes to us, whether they have a foreign accent, a U.S. dialectal accent, certainly Southern accent, from Manhattan, wherever they may be from, our goal is the standard American dialect. That's our specialty.
I mean, this is really fun stuff. I wondered, though, I know that if I go back to Pensacola, and Pensacola is Florida, but it's really culturally, it's South Georgia, South Alabama. I mean, you can throw a rock from Daddy's porch to the line, okay? Mm-hmm. I know if I go back and hang out with the guys for a week, do a little hunting, a little fishing, I come back probably, you can probably hear it on the radio, but I know.
Oh, absolutely you can. I don't mean that in a bad way.
You can tell I've been home for a week, can't you?
Sure, no, absolutely.
So I wonder if it's not like, you know, drinking or smoking or, you know, doing crack or whatever. You can slide back, right?
Absolutely, you can. You can. But I think that our program looks at it as replacing certain habits that you have with your speech and giving you new habits, those being of the standard American dialect, our goal. So we really do make it an unconscious thing so that you don't really have to think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Now, when you're around, the main person who influences your speech are your peers.
Yeah.
So that, and sometimes that's surprising to people. You think maybe your parents should be, or your family, whoever you spend, you know, your home you live with, but that's not true. It's your peers. So when you go back to somewhere that you're from and you're hanging out with those people, like you said, just like any other habits, you kind of pick up their habits a little bit. But then you go back home and you'll find yourself falling back into your habits there. So that's human nature. And there's nothing that can be done about that. But it is true. It is true. I even do that. So
how is this book organized? Tell us a little bit more about the book.
Well, the book is, again, it's a do-it-yourself program. So literally, someone could order this off of the internet, get it sent to them, and they could start running by themselves. And it was designed that way specifically so it would be easy to follow. It'd be a step-by-step process. There's no evaluation, let's say, involved in someone who would just go and pick up the book. It goes through all the vowel sounds. Typical Southern dialects, the focus is on that elongated vowel. So that's our first step right there is we address that. We teach early on in the book a technique called the vowel reduction technique. And if you can master that, you are well on your way to improving the way that you sound. So again, we address carryover early on. We address the vowel sounds early on. And we really give you a step-by-step map on how to go through the book and be successful.
My favorite thing that Stone does is he adds syllables to like a one or two syllable word, you know, four or five or six syllables. You know,
so. And the thing is, I know you feel that way, and I feel that way when I go back home or I go out to Powder Springs and hang out with my Uncle Rock and my Aunt Lori, because bank is like a four syllable word for her. it's all relative too, right? I mean, these accents. I know I married a Yankee wife, and she's the youngest of five daughters, and they get on to me on this one word, pie. Because I also, you know, I'd like a slice of pie. And then they're trying to coach me through, like, I have such a hard time saying pie, or I can't get it. But it's that elongated vowel thingy you're talking about, right?
Yes. Right. And we address, like I said, we addressed that early on. And then some of the things that you just spoke of, the colloquialisms, the little phrases that you might say, that's all addressed in there too. Grammar structures that if you're trying to neutralize, you might want to stay away from. phrases, not necessarily don't say this anymore, but, you know, it kind of brings it to the forefront of your mind. Well, instead of saying, you know, mash the button, you could say push the button. You know, so we just try to get in your head a little bit.
So what would be a replacement for I wouldn't hit a fat hog in the ass with that?
Oh, dear.
I'm not sure that I've heard that one.
I hear it every Monday morning.
Lucky you.
I've done a lot of reading where I've seen people say that our language patterns are changing because of the internet, because of texting, because of short emails and 140-character tweets and all that. Does that impact your work at all when most children think they spell you with the letter U as opposed to Y-O-U? How does that impact the work you guys have to do? I mean, have you seen that?
I would say no.
Really? Okay.
We have not seen that because our work is more spoken than it is written.
I see.
We're not an English as a second language type of a program where we're teaching you specific writing skills. We never address writing. We're all spoken language, so it has not impacted us.
You guys have honed in on such a niche here with the Southern accent. I really am fascinated, A, that you can fix it, B, that you can make a living at it. So I'm curious about the marketing side of this business. How do you get of course, they've been on the High Velocity Radio Show now, so maybe it's a non-issue.
It's all downhill.
But so from now on, phone's going to ring off the hook. But up till now, how did you get the word out? How did people find out about you? And what, if anything, do you feel like made them feel like, okay, these are the people I want to work with as opposed to agency ABC?
I would say, our publishers obviously do a lot of the marketing for us for the text. And word of mouth has been huge for us. I think that accent reduction is a personal thing. And so when a person gets a recommendation, that really has been a big source of our business is when you have someone you trust coming with a recommendation about something so personal, it kind of spreads on
word
its
of mouth
own.
Takes on a new meeting with you guys.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And I might not be their best spokesperson just yet.
No.
So what do you find the most rewarding about your work, and what do you find a little bit challenging or even frustrating from time to time?
I would say the most rewarding part of just being a speech pathologist in general, and especially working with the clients that we work with. First of all, we get to meet people from all over the United States and around the world, really. Mm-hmm. So that's very rewarding in and of itself there. But for me, it is taking a look at someone when they walk in the first day and seeing how they look on the last day walking out and just looking at their confidence. They are a new person. They carry themselves differently. They speak more confidently in themselves. And I just think that's the best reward there.
Change someone dramatically. Oh, yes. And if they're very reserved because they don't want to be seen talking with a maybe a very hard Southern accent, mm-hmm. when they know how to control that, they can become an entirely new person.
It's very true. And it's amazing to see the difference. The confidence is a big thing. And I definitely agree with Jennifer about that. Seeing the person, the changes it makes. I mean, we have so many people who tell us, our clients, when they come in, I won't participate in the meeting. I specifically will not say something, even though I have a thought, because I don't want to be asked, where are you from? Or it seems like their speech is what's highlighted, not the thoughts behind their speech. And that is very challenging for people. So it is an amazingly rewarding field that we're in. We love it.
I'll bet it is. Yeah.
I would say the most challenging part, too, Stone, you asked about that, is sometimes it's hard to be the cheerleader behind the person. So that's something that, you know, we just have to be very constant about. And sometimes it can be hard, but, you know, we're still there to do it no matter what.
Right. Yeah. I can see someone of my personality saying, okay, yes, sometimes with the right northern audience, a southern accent is even a little bit endearing. For 45 minutes, it's fun and it's cute, right? Now I've got a real consulting opportunity and I don't want to be pigeonholed, so I come to you guys. And I say, okay, I really want to change things. And I can see myself 5-6 weeks into the process feel like I'm losing a part of myself and then wanting to revert back. Have you ever run into that kind of thing where people are feel like they're losing a part of themselves?
We get that question all of the time. And it's, you know, when clients come to us, by the time they come to us, they've made a decision. They've made the decision that to change the way they speak will benefit them in whatever way they're looking to be, you know, to benefit.
You don't spend
from.
Your time trying to sell them on the, you don't
oh,
spend
no.
your time trying to sell me stone. You got to change that thing, but
absolutely not. And we don't feel that way. I appreciate accents. We all do appreciate accents. I know that people, and we recognize that people, that's a part of one's identity is their accent.
Right.
But we always say with that question, we're here if somebody makes the decision that they want to change the way they speak because it will benefit them. We don't judge that, and we don't judge if you choose not to. Whatever works for you. It's a personal decision. And we're here to help if you choose.
Did I hear that you guys were recently on the History Channel? Tell us about that.
Well, yes, we just filmed a bit with the History Channel here in Atlanta for a series called How the States Got Their Shapes. And this particular episode is going to be focused on languages. So we were a part of that show, and it should be airing sometime in the spring.
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations on that.
That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've heard about the series, and I'm looking forward to that whole series.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how language affects the shape of states. I can't make that connection. I'm interested to see this.
Because people on the other side of the river talk one way, and people on this side of the river talk another. Mm-hmm. Yeah? How's that?
Well, I can understand how a river would create a shape, but I'm intrigued to learn how language had an impact on that.
Yes. So you'll have to watch.
Can you do any of this work virtually? You know, because it is auditory. I mean, do you find yourself coaching on the phone, or do you have to come in? Or
we prefer to do it in person. I know that we definitely could do it by video, or sometimes we do telephone conferences.
Right.
But that's really, we prefer to do it one-on-one, in person, in front of you. It's just, we find it to be much more effective that way. But that's not to say that we do not do it virtually or digitally or over the telephone or whatever it may be, especially for people who are around the country and can't get to us. We're certainly available, but we do prefer to do it in person.
So what's one of the most fun projects you've been on? You don't have to name any names. What's been one of the most fun or most rewarding projects? Can you just walk us through one that you really enjoyed or you felt like, this is really cool to do this for a living? I really think we helped that guy or that lady out.
You want me to take this? I have a thought. We had, at one point, the medical industry is a field where, with foreign accents, as opposed to dialectal, which is what the southern accent would be considered a U.S. dialect, but we work with foreign accents quite a bit as well. And in the medical industry, our nursing shortage has caused this country to recruit nurses from many different countries. And we had, you know where I'm going, we had a specific supervisor for a nurse, a very talented nurse, who was from another country. Her supervisor came to us and said, we will have to get rid of this person because her communication is putting our patients at risk. Because in a medical situation, obviously, it can be hazardous if communication is an issue.
Oh, yeah.
So they came to us with her, and she enrolled in the program, and we worked through with her. And she saved her job. I mean, we helped her, but she certainly had the motivation, the dedication, the commitment, and she changed the way she speaks, and she was able to better communicate all of those wonderful, intelligent thoughts that she had kind of hidden behind the accent that was hindering her. So for me, that was one of my favorite experiences and something we're very proud of.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
happens a lot.
What a great story. That's got to feel good, huh?
It does.
No, it is a great story. So you don't just do Southern accent work. You can help anybody who has an accent or a dialect that needs to know how to change that.
Correct. Okay. Yes. So our goal being the standard American dialect, we can take anybody, no matter where you're from, another country or anywhere in the United States, to that standard American dialect.
How important is their knowledge of English? I mean, I'm assuming it's significantly important, but I mean, how much of that is part of the problem sometimes? They just don't know enough of the language to make it work.
We have seen that with clients that come to us, and we do refer them for English as a second language courses before they begin with us. Because, yes, you do have to have a fairly good command of the English language before working on an accent. It's kind of like the icing on the cake here. So
Sounds like you guys do a lot of one-on-one work. Have you started entertaining being on retainer for like large organizations that are now, you know, recruiting more globally? Have you started thinking about that or engaging in those kinds of conversations?
Oh yes, that's a big part of our business, definitely. We do. We have done that. We've had the opportunity to work with some larger corporations, and we do small groups as well. Even though most of our work is one-on-one, we can work with up to 5 people at one time. So we do that.
Any more than that, it loses its effectiveness?
I would say that's so.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But I think like a small group like that, at least for me, my learning style, even if the guy next to me is working on something totally different than me, I kind of like the small group and cheering him on and him being my cheerleader. There's got to be some real value in that.
There is. There is real value in that.
I'll bet. So how can our listeners learn more about the book, learn more about your services, and get a chance to have a conversation with you guys and see if this is really for them? What's the best way for them to contact you guys and learn more about your work?
If we have a website. It's AtlantaAccentManagement.com. And you can link to we have our phone number up there on the internet and then our emails as well. And our book, Say Goodbye to Your Southern Accent, can be found on Amazon.com or at LanguageSuccessPress.com, which is our publisher.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you both on the show this morning. I hope you'll come back, share some more success stories, maybe even bring a client with you that's been through the process. That would be a lot of fun. You think you guys would be up for that sometime?
Oh, absolutely.
Terrific. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick. Our guests this morning, Jennifer Adams and Johanna Chapman with Atlanta Accent Management, our producer, Brad, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.